And good evening, my brothers and my sisters. I want to bring you a message that's taken from the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 3. The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 3. And the title of this message is Return to Me. Return to Me. And he says in Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 1, if a man divorces his wife and she leaves him to marry another, can he ever return to her? Wouldn't such a land become totally defiled? But you have played the harlot, the prostitute. He's talking about me and you, with many partners. Return to me. Return to me, says the Lord. Now, this, according unto Brother John Gill, is a grace and a mercy that cannot be found on earth. And that's just a beautiful way of imagining this great kindness of God. That we have a compassionate Savior. Me and you, we have a Lord of mercy. We have someone who, even though I deserve punishment and I deserve banishment, He will receive us back into His arms of love. And I keep on thinking about the prodigal son, how he went away from his father. He spent the inheritance. He did as much evil as he possibly could. He went to a distant and far country of sin. He squandered his estate in foolish living. He spent everything he had on whores and harlots. And what the Lord God is saying unto me and you is, even after you have sinned as much as possible, even after you have broken all fellowship, even after you have, by everything that me and you have done, everything that we did, we have made it just impossible for God to have mercy on our soul. Because of the shed blood of His only Son. Because of grace that's greater than our sins. Because the atonement is just so fabulous. There's a power that's from God. That says, return to me. And it's so powerful that any sinner, whether it be Judas, whether it be Esau, whether it be Pilate, whether it be Herod, whether it be Pharaoh, any sinner who comes to the throne of grace will obtain mercy. The Almighty God is not going to say, oh, excuse me, I don't see your name in the book of life. You cannot come unto me. That's not how it works. That's not how any of it works. It's the way it works is that the eternal God, He draws men who are just like Esau, who are just like Jacob, who are just like Paul, who are just like Isaac, who are just like Abraham, who are just like Peter. But these sinners are just like the sinners He doesn't save. And what I'm saying is there's no difference between the sinner who comes to Christ and the sinner who stays in his sin. Are they not both sinners? But the difference is that one came to Jesus Christ to be forgiven and cleansed. And the one who comes to Christ, whoever he may be, will not be cast out. And so the fact that God chooses whom He pleases does not stop you from coming. You would be welcomed, because every obstacle that would keep us away from Christ, the Son of God, has been answered by His own blood. when He died for the ungodly. When He paid for the sins of the chosen ones on the cross, He made a way for anybody to come who wants to. So He says, come. And He won't cast you out because you're a whore or a fornicator or a murderer or a cannibal. There have been cannibals saved. It was an island where Mr. John Patton went to preach over near this group of islands is in the South Pacific. And the boat that landed before his, the missionaries arrived on shore and were eaten by the cannibals with swiftness. A few months later, Brother Patton returned with his wife, and those very same cannibals, at least a few of them, became heirs of the kingdom of God. Can you imagine that? To have killed and eaten a man that was trying to preach the gospel to you, and have God send you another preacher, only for you to believe and repent and receive everlasting life, the fullness of the inheritance. That's God. Nobody would do that. Nobody would give His children like that. But God lets His children be slaughtered just so that they can be heard a second time. And what I'm saying is that He's rich in mercy. That's what the Bible says. I'm in Romans chapter 10. As the Bible says that He's rich in mercy unto all that call upon Him. And whosoever, one of the greatest words in the Bible, shall call upon the name of the Lord, what's going to happen to them? Salvation. Every single one of them, every time. In due time, everybody who puts their faith in Christ will get the joy and will get the power. But that's what you're trusting Him for. And He'll surprise you and give you things that you never thought you'd have. He'll make that joy even greater than you can imagine. So what I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, is return. I know that you're a big sinner. I know that you're a failure. I know you're unworthy, but turn. Because what God is saying is, look, even if it's impossible with man, it's not with God. Even if men would never forgive you, Almighty God, He shall. So come on back home and repent. And here's point two. Look, from Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 2. Look to the barren heights and see. Where have you not been immoral? You sat waiting for them besides the highways. He's picturing a whore in her miniskirt, like a nomad in the desert, like a camel in her heat. You have defiled on the land with your prostitution and wickedness. This is why the showers have not come. Can you see it? There's no unrighteousness with God. The reason that me and you are not forgiven is not because God does not forgive sins. It's because we refuse to come. It's because we've played the harlot with our whoredoms. It's because we have refused to believe. That's why the atonement hasn't worked. That's why the joy of the Lord has been spent on somebody else instead of on our own lives. That's why the forgiveness has not been enjoyed. It is not that He has closed up His bowels of compassion that we have returned, but that we have refused to return unto the Lord our God through Jesus Christ and take hold the mercies in the skirts and in the hems of his garment. We have refused, like the woman with the issue of blood, to come to him and press through the crowd in all of our foolishness and all of our sin. We have refused to go to the Lord of glory, who is full of mercy. And he is rich in mercy, but he spent none of this mercy on us, because he's refused us for not coming unto him. And see, all the while I was thinking, I was doing what it took to get the blessing. I didn't realize that Christ did. That what it took, our Lord Jesus did on the cross. And all the while, I refused to cry out unto him, thinking my situation wasn't that bad, thinking he wouldn't hear me, thinking he was unworthy of being called unto. It's only because I didn't come to him for mercy. And so this lack of joy, this lack of peace, this lack of power, this lack of love for Christ, this lack of love for souls, this lack of a meaning in our life, my brothers and sisters, it isn't because it's not there. It isn't because God is unfaithful. It isn't because he has broke his promise. As our brother King Solomon said in 1 Kings 8, everything that you have promised, you have brought it to pass. All the land that you promised that you would give unto Israel, all the promises that you made of being faithful unto your people, he says in 1 Kings 8 verse 24, you have kept what you promised to your servant, my father David. You spoke directly to him, and you fulfilled your promise by your power, as it is this day. This is true, and this can be said of the promise-keeping God who is faithful. He's heard us if we called upon him. He's been trusted only to show himself as Savior. He has never, ever failed. And so what do you think that the problem is? Here's why the showers haven't come. Here's why there has been no spring rain. You have the brazen look of a prostitute and refuse to be ashamed. There is no repentance. If you see a prostitute on the street that's looking miserable, and you ask her as to how you doing, old girl, and when she gets past all the fronting and she gets to exposing her heart and she expresses the misery that's inside of her of being used, it isn't because a man won't love her and marry her. If that man is God, he will. He will take her, and Christ will be a husband unto you. But she's on the street corner being used and abused. And me and you, we do the same thing spiritually. We stand on the street, whoring for the devil, chasing after everything under the sun, trying to give our heart, trying to give our mind, and trying to give our strength unto the devil. and unto the things of this present world. And that's why the misery has heaped itself upon us. It has come upon us in heaps upon heaps. It has mounted as high as the heavens, so that our God cannot be seen, and we can't even believe that He'll hear us. But, oh brethren, when you get done with all your silly games of religion, all your attempts to climb that mountain, all your attempts to live in separation from God, He'll be found by you when you seek Him with your whole heart. When you turn unto Him and you realize, Lord, the problem is in me, your servant. I haven't been faithful. Lord, I'm trusting you like never before. I'm putting off. You're the only hope I've got. Please have mercy on me. He will hear you when He hears your cry. That's the promise of Isaiah chapter number 30. Let me read you that promise. And I know I'm hitting heavy on the heart. I think that this book of Jeremiah is a book that I've been uniquely qualified to preach from because I have experienced it. And he says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 19, "For you people will live on Zion in Jerusalem and will never cry again." I'm going to bring you back to the promised land. "He will show favor to you at the sound of your cry." When He hears, He will answer you. So if you're crying out to God, you just aren't crying out as a sinner. That's the problem. You're still crying out as a righteous person. You're still crying out as somebody with power. You're still crying out as, "I'm going to live my way." But when you're broken, when you're crushed, and when you're humbled, He'll draw near to you. The broken and the contrite heart He will not despise. Just hit point number 3. I'm back into Jeremiah 3, verse number 3. This is what it says, or verse number 4, actually. "Have you not lately called to me, my father? You were my friend in my youth. Will he bear a grudge forever? Will he be endlessly infuriated?" And so you see how the people are saying, it's really God's fault. I've done all I can do, but He hasn't heard me. I've tried. I've repented. I've read the sermons by Charles Spurgeon. I've studied my theology. I've been going to a sound church. And the Lord says that this is what you have said, but here's the facts of the case. And He knows our heart. He's always right. You have done the evil things that you are capable of. You are walking in unbelief. You're a sinner. You're under the wrath of God for your rebellion. Your ungodliness is a result of unbelief. It's not a lack of power. Your joylessness is not because God is a killed joy. It's because the fountain of joy is doing the will of God by the forgiveness of sins in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that threefold cord shall never be broken. The will of God, the power of God, and the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. That righteousness that's imputed unto faith. If you believed on Christ, you're righteous in the sight of God. Your sins are all forgiven. If you've trusted in Christ, the power of the Spirit will come. So why are you trusting in your own strength? It's not by strength. It's not by might. It's not by the horse. It's not by the army. It's not by the power of man. It's not by sound doctrine, my friend. It's by the Spirit and the Word. You have to be born of the Spirit and the water. It cannot be just one. And for every one of us that's putting our confidence in the Word of God but not in the power of the Spirit, we're missing out on Jesus Christ. Because it said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that it was God who caused the light to shine out of darkness, who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It was not the sound doctrine. It was not merely the word of God. It was the active power of God. It was the hand of God. It was a force that went with that word. When you and I first heard the preaching, and the reason that it worked in our heart was not merely what the preacher was saying, it was the power that came with it. Oh God, bless us to preach in power. Let your power be upon our ministries. I've been reading some of the things I have written, some of the things in the book, some of the things in these articles. And you know what I've been seeing as of late? Life. Not just the dead doctrine, not just head knowledge, but experience. Life. The power of the Holy Ghost. And that's the only way I want to preach. I refuse to preach any other way. I just will not. I will not. I'll have to have His power, or I just won't speak. I'll just stand up and complain. But see, that's the difference between me now and me before, is that before I was willing to go without the power of the Spirit. And if you're willing to go one day without His power, you will. But when you cannot leave your house until you've seen His face, He'll reveal Himself. He will teach you to wake up early and to go to bed late. He'll teach you to seek Him with all your heart. He will teach you true repentance. And see, brothers, that's the difference between myself now and before, is repentance. It is not that I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I've got sins just as bad as they ever were. But the difference is repentance. I know how, like a boomerang, to come back unto my Lord and say I'm wrong. I've learned how to trust Him for the power of the Spirit, because I know what it's like to be in my own strength. And it's just unprofitable. So if you're at this place of utter weakness, that's where you can't live without Him. I can live without any human being on earth. That has its ups, it has its downs. But let me tell you who I can't live without. That's my Lord, my blessed Savior. That's the Comforter. And the reason that we don't have His power is because it is not because of Him, it's because of ourselves. We've done as much evil as possible. It isn't because He owes us mercy and He hasn't been merciful. Is He sleeping? Has He forgotten the atonement of Christ? Is the shedding of His blood insufficient? He's on the other side of the planet, not hardly hearing your prayers. Unworthiness is in your mind. You are afraid to approach Him because you are not coming to Him by His own Son's precious blood. He has given us a way of escape. He has given us a way of salvation. He's given us hope, brethren. He's given us power over sin, but it's not in ourselves at all. And so what are you going to do? Huh? Are you going to repent? You're going to come to Him. You're going to say, Father, I've sinned. I'm not even worthy unto be your son. Just make me a slave. Just make me able to obey you. Just put me in your will. Give me the strength, Almighty God. Please have mercy on me, thou son of David. He won't pass you by, brother. He won't refuse to forgive you, poor sinner. He won't neglect you in your cry. He will see your tears. He will heal your broken heart. And He'll give you the joy of your salvation if you come to Him for it. Say, Lord, the only joy I want is the joy of your salvation. It's the joy of serving you. And He will give it in overabundance until it is the greatest joy that you've ever had. The title of this message is Return to Me. Amen.